This is Using the Whole Whale, a podcast that brings you stories of data and technology in the nonprofit world. This is George Weiner, your host and the chief whaler of WholeWhale.com. Thank you for joining us. I don't think I'd be alone in saying that it's often the small interactions and conversations that can really define an experience or even a product for you. I was recently flying from Reno to Scotland, actually, and the flight had been canceled, unfortunately, and I needed to get on United Airlines flight. It was like 10 minutes before it boarded, and I was like, I've got a snowball's chance in hell, basically, to get on this. And wouldn't you know, but the attendant there was incredibly nice and actually helped me get onto that flight so I got to where I was going on time. She definitely didn't need to go to the extent that she did to get me on the last seat of the plane. But I'm definitely going to remember that the next time I think about United, even though they tend to cancel flights on me, they're really great with these small interactions. So why am I going on about this? This is episode 16, where we're going to be talking with Donors Choose, the largest online platform for connecting teachers and donors and providing the resources to these teachers online. And one of the things I think they get really, really well is what are called transactional emails. Those transactional emails are not what like the marketing team puts out there as the official, if you think of like United saying, hey, we have a discount on blah, blah, blah today. They're the small interactions, right, with the attendants or the stewardesses that really define your experience with a product. And that's what Donors Choose gets. They've really worked on those small interactions that happen when somebody gives to a classroom, that teacher receives it, and then sends back a message to the person who donated. We're going to be talking with the CTO of Donors Choose, Oliver, and figuring out the secret sauce that makes it happen on the technology side. All right, today we have got Oliver from Donors Choose. Oliver, you're the CTO of course, Donors Choose, an amazing organization. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, Donors Choose?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm psyched to be talking with you and your listeners about all this stuff. It's really fun. And so DonorsChoose.org, it's a website where public school teachers post their best ideas for classroom projects that their schools can't otherwise afford. And then folks on the internet help bring them to life with their credit card. And then we sort of, our operation fulfills the project. We don't just forward the check. We actually, buy all the stuff for the classroom and deliver it directly to the teacher. And then facilitate kind of a closing of the feedback loop from the teacher in the classroom communicating back with their supporters and saying thank you and telling them how the whole project went. It's kind of like a Kickstarter for classrooms. And we've been around now almost 14 years. It was originally founded in 2000 by a public school teacher in the Bronx, and he still runs the operation. His name is Charles Best. And it's been an exciting ride. I've been with the org almost 8 years, and it's there's been a lot of growth. We're really excited about that. It's taken a lot of hard work. But yeah, when I joined the org, and I want to say 2006, that year we did $5 million. That school year we did $5 million in donations to classrooms through the website. And this year, the school year that just ended, we did $63 million in donations. Really exciting. 100,000 projects funded, more than 300,000 donors mobilized just this year, just this school year. So yeah, we're feeling really good about the impact. Almost at $250 million donated to classrooms through the website since inception. More than 50% of public schools in the United States have a teacher who's used the website to post a project, and there's something like 95,000 public schools in the country. So we're really excited about that reach. And one of our big goals is to get all high-need public schools in the country having at least one teacher at that school using our website. So we're not all the way there yet, but we're working on it.
Still got some road to go there. Those are some incredible numbers, some high-level thoughts there. It's a simple idea, right? Like, teachers need equipment. Teachers need support in the classroom. You've brokered this way of people simply being able to identify that need and directly donate. But of course, the devil's in the details here. And I'm curious,
The next layer down, like the day-to-day, what kind of metrics are you looking at, let's say, as the, you know, the technology side of things? What kind of metrics are you looking at that that are really driving things forward?
So, you know, on the tech side, we probably look at a lot of things that maybe are typical to any web business, underlying things in terms of, you know, uptime and performance. And then I think across different channels for driving donations and for teacher success, you know, we look at different metrics. So, you know, big things we look at, we actually divide the business into revenue from what we call marketplace giving, which are donors, citizen donors on the website. And then we also look at donations from partners, mostly corporate partners. And that's about a 50-50 split in terms of donation revenue. So we look at those separately. We have different features and products for both sides of those businesses, and we watch them both pretty closely. We pay attention to dollars being applied to projects. That tells us sort of the velocity of money through the system. We pay close attention to the number of cash giving citizen donors on the site, because people can come to the site and they can redeem a gift card. They can give in ways where they're not opening their own wallet, and that's welcome and that's awesome. And many of those people were able to convert into cash giving donors. But for us, a donor who's opened their own wallet to help support a classroom is sort of one of our fundamental customer metrics, because that's someone who, you know, there's a lot of things you could do on the internet that require different amounts of commitment, and clicking a like button is one thing, and opening an email is another thing, and actually opening your wallet to do something is a pretty high bar, relatively speaking. So we pay attention closely to that. We look at year-over-year cash-giving citizen donors as a way to measure, are people coming back? It's very hard to get people to come back, to be honest. And I think that's true of e-commerce in general, most, you know, for everybody who's not Amazon. But so we're really watching, you know, for the people that have discovered the site and made a donation, are we getting them to come back? And we also, of course, are monitoring the teacher participation. Are teachers getting their projects funded? You know, one thing we know is that if a teacher gets one project completed on the site, then they believe the website works and they become a net promoter, will then tell other teachers that this website works and may post more projects in the future. And if a teacher has no projects funded, then they believe the website does not work and they're not coming back and they're not telling other people good things. So another thing we closely watch, in addition to sort of overall project success and dollars in the door, is whether new teachers using the system are succeeding.
This is all about actually relationships and getting back to how the system delivers this. I think one of the things that you guys are an absolute model for is something called transactional emails, right? You've systematized and made it easier for these relationships to blossom. So if one of your key metrics is really making sure teachers come back, making sure donors come back, can you tell us a little bit about how you've approached this from a technology standpoint?
You know, I think that When Charles was a public school teacher, and when he founded the org, his aha moment wasn't that teachers in high need communities, you know, needed help and, you know, could do more for their students if they only had certain critical resources. His aha moment, because that's sort of not, everybody kind of knows that. The aha moment was that if he could deliver an experience for citizen donors, people giving $5 or $10 or $40, if he could deliver an experience for them that was akin to the philanthropic experience that big money donors have when they give $1 million, in terms of choice and directness and transparency and communication and feedback, if he could deliver that experience for regular people, then he thought it could sort of galvanize support around these classrooms. But he was sort of inventing crowdfunding, or at least he was the first one to reduce it to practice in a successful way. And so at its cornerstone for us, it is, as you mentioned, it's about the email communication, because that's the way to do this at scale. And for us, it's about touch points throughout the project on a life cycle. So I'll give you a bunch of examples. But really what it's about is it's about the teacher connecting with the donor and vice versa. You know, in a sense, we want to get out of the way and just let that donor form a relationship with the classroom. And it's actually okay with us if the first two times someone gives, they kind of don't even realize that DonorsChoose.org exists and that we're an org and we have people and operational needs and we run this thing. If they just feel like I'm connecting directly with a teacher and donating directly to them, that's fine with us because it's that directness which we think is really powerful. So I'll give you some examples of critical emails along the life cycle. So one is, as soon as you donate, we tell the teacher, and the teacher usually writes a thank you back to the donor in about 24 hours. That donation, that communication we hear from donors is sort of their first kind of mind-blowing moment where they say, wow, you know, I guess I knew there was a teacher on the other end of this thing. Then they say, my gosh, it's sort of like the relationship is then formed. When a project's fully funded, the teacher writes a note to all their donors, thanking them again. That's a very powerful email. Once the teacher has the materials in their classroom and they start doing the project, they take photos of the project happening, they write an impact report, and we follow up and we bring that back to donors via email as well, notifications. And there's one analog part to the process, which is handwritten thank you notes for donors who give $50 or more, and those are mailed through our office. And we haven't had, those are so sort of creative and amazing. We haven't had the heart to digitize them yet. We're afraid that they might not be as powerful digitally. But we do want to do some pilots because in their analog form they're really compelling, but we can't deliver them to all donors. So just for cost and scale reasons, so we have to have this $50 cutoff. And we are doing some experiments to figure out if we could digitize that. Then we could deliver it to 100% of donors, and that might be, and we know that would be a win. But the essence of all of it is that, you know, is creating the relationship. It's the donor feeling direct connection with the classroom, which is hearing the voice of the teacher through email, through these pictures, et cetera. And we all do that with email notifications. So if the teacher finds out about the donor giving, and actually every donor when they give is encouraged, almost required, to leave a message explaining why they give. So they say, I gave because, you know, my aunt was a math teacher. Or they say, I gave because I grew up in the same town and I went to that school and I want to give back. And whatever the reason they explain, you know, I gave because I used to play high school volleyball or whatever. And that connection, and then oftentimes the teacher will respond specifically to what that donor said, and now there's a rapport, now there's a connection. And, you know, perhaps most significantly in terms of the business, you build the long-term relationship, and also a lot of the notifications bring you back to the website. So we say, hey, there's photos for you to look at that the teacher has posted, and of course, you know, you have to view the photos on our website, and now the donor's back on our website, and not to be crass, but, you know, perhaps while they're there, we'll be able to entice them to give again to the same classroom or to another classroom.
I mean, you guys are definitely what I would call, like, best in breed for these transactional emails and building relationships, and I think it started because you started with that seed of, I don't want to make it easier for people to just give money to classrooms, but you said, I want the experience to feel like, you know, like a big donor, like I'm a big deal, like I spent money, I spent time in doing this. And so while most, I think, of the time, technology is like, oh, how easy can I make this donate button? You're like, that's fine, but what happens afterward? If we could maybe dig in a little bit more to the technology running in place to allow all these transactional emails, I would love that.
Yeah, sure. So we use two things, SendGrid and ExactTarget. And ExactTarget we use, that's been a great tool for us. And we use ExactTarget to do outbound email marketing to our donors and teachers. We never send to people, you know, we don't buy a list and send to the list. So these emails are only going to our own donor base and our own teacher base. And they're things that can be done sort of en masse. So it's announcing to all donors in California about a special match offer that's available only to them. Or it's announcing to all the teachers in New York that there's a special campaign coming up and they can participate in a certain way. Or it's reaching out to people saying, hey, for Mother's Day, would you consider giving the gift of helping a classroom to your favorite mom, meaning your mom, or maybe in my case, my wife is a mom, and all the moms in the life. We want you to give to as many moms as you can.
But, all the moms.
And so that's so ExactTarget is sort of the outbound marketing engine there, and the beauty of it is it's operated by a non-technical team member. It's owned by the marketing team. And technically, my team does relatively little to support it. the main thing we have to do is maintain a nightly feed of basically donor and teacher data into the exact target system. And that's containing all the attributes that our colleague on the marketing team needs to be able to do blast email. So it's everything from, you know, the donor name to maybe the date of the last time they gave to where they live, et cetera, et cetera. And then corresponding attributes for teachers. And once that's all in the system, then our marketing colleagues can kind of go nuts. And they're great. They do lots of A/B testing of the emails they send. They're all up in the metrics, you know, the opens and the clicks and of course, the revenue as well, because Exact Target pulls that all the way through. And so they really have sort of their own kind of command center and management panel. And with the A/B testing, we've learned a lot. And in fact, incorporated some of the learnings from the A/B testing back into our what I call system emails or what other people call transactional emails. So that side of the house is sort of is different. The transactional emails we're now doing through SendGrid. SendGrid is really sort of email as a service. So it's our application, our software, our web system that generates all these emails. We've built from scratch a kind of templating engine that takes inputs and then can crank out whatever's needed, a donation receipt.
So this is the point where Oliver's explaining literally how they're creating these templates so they can create customized, a bit more, you know, better looking emails that will be triggered by interactions on the site when somebody makes a donation, when the teacher comes back and submits a thank you. This is the secret sauce. They care, right? They started off, right, with Charles Best's vision of let's really actually focus on the user experience end to end. What is it like? What if this person, instead of giving $10, gave $1 million? How would we want to treat them in even the smallest communication we send? And I think the results really speak for themselves as we hear Oliver describe some of the successes they had. But, you know, it takes a little bit of time to program that in. But you can see, at least for Donors Choose, this was time well spent.
All right. So that's all coming through SendGrid. So and it's our application that's doing it all. So the system will send out a notification to a teacher that a donor has given. We'll send a notification to a donor that a teacher has responded and so forth. And that's all done internally through our own templating engine. We have a big Java app that runs our whole web system, and it's doing that. So SendGrid's been great in terms of getting the email service and delivery part out of our backyard, something we no longer have to worry about. We can pay them to be experts in it. They do stuff like signing of the emails, which helps delivery. They can provide open and click stats. But it's still a little frustrating for our team that we can't A/B test what comes out of the system emails, and we also can't have non-technical team members make changes. I want to say that our system emails drove on the order of something like $12 million in donations this year.
Oh,
and we know from the Exact Target front, where I think we've driven on the order of $1.5 million of donations, we know that when we can A/B test and when we can make the content management not gated on tech, you know, engineering bandwidth, we know that we can make improvements that will increase giving and help teachers. So it's been frustrating to us that we don't have that level, that we don't have that for system email. So it's something we've been looking closely at and trying to figure out how to solve. And like I said, SendGrid was one piece of the puzzle. And another thing we're now looking at closely is A/B testing. And we're looking at a shop called Send With Us that is integrated with SendGrid. And our hope is that they may be able to help us on the templating front and on the A/B testing front.
Yeah, definitely. The A/B testing of the transaction is difficult. Can you give or share any findings that you know have maybe come from the marketing side, or have been changes in small language that have like surprised you by, you know, huge upside?
You know, I feel like I don't have any numbers right at the tip of my tongue, but what I can tell you is that just religiously, with the stuff that we send through Exact Target, the outbound marketing emails. For those, we're very diligent about sending to a small sample group, testing a bunch of different subject lines, and, you know, almost always the subject line you think is going to perform the best, you're wrong about, and the test helps you figure out what people respond best to, and there's just no question. I mean, we move the needle on open rates and on click-throughs, and on revenue all the time with the A/B testing we do through the exact target tool, which makes it easy. So, you know, it's sort of like, and this is how all real businesses on the web are running. You know, they A/B test what's on their front end, and they're A/B testing what's in their email. And not to get all, you know, talking about business opportunities, but it's really an untapped business opportunity that the big boys have all built their own frameworks. And on the front end of the website, organizations like Optimizely, which, by the way, we discovered thanks to you when you introduced us to Optimizely, because you had so much success with it at DoSomething.org and since then. So essentially, A/B testing as a service, as a framework, is now available to folks the front end of their websites as almost really a turnkey WYSIWYG proposition. And but it hasn't yet reached system email, and it just, we know it can unlock so many donations. So there's a couple players out there, and we're about to pilot Send with us, and it's not a trivial change, because sending system emails is sort of built into the very fabric of our web application. But for us, we think it's worth the experiment, because if we could let our marketing team, you know, and our sort of content experts loose on this, what is today, you know, a $12 million source of donations, we really think we could help a lot more classrooms.
Crazy, because I think a lot of organizations aren't even at the level of, what is a transactional email? You know, isn't that the automatic thing the tech guy just, you know, typed in the first day he launched the site, which kind of kills me. But getting into the A/B testing is where we'll hopefully be as a sector shortly. As we move, wrap up here, I'm curious, what is on your plate for like the next 6 months, tech speaking?
Well, one of the things that has been successful for us recently, and that we're going to invest more on over the next 6 months, is in the area of system email, are the recommendations that we send out to our donor base. So we have an email that goes out every month, and it suggests projects to donors. And this is part of the whole thing of getting people to come back, which, like I said, is hard to do. I mean, we survey our donors, and they say amazing things about us, and that they, you know, they're net promoters, they love what we do, they had an amazing experience. And then we'll look at the data, and this donor hasn't come back in a while. And I think it's not that they've done anything wrong, it's just that people are busy, life is busy, it's hard to get people, you know, we're never going to be one of those websites where, like the New York Times or your bank or your email, where you check that every day religiously. So yeah. How do you bring people back, and how do you send them, you know, without being spammy, nutritious reasons to come back? So we've been working on recommendations via email for some time. Actually, we've had a feature for many years. It was a feature that was doing about $17,000 a month until October of 2013, and we came out with yet another attempt to make this email better targeted and smarter. And now it seems to be really working. The email's doing like $150,000 to $200,000 a month.
And, holy
crap. And you know, it really was just about experimentation. It was probably our fourth or fifth attempt to do it right. And at its heart, what it does is basically look at what were the searches that a donor did on our website before they funded their last project. So if they said, well, I want to fund projects in New York focused on music at high-need schools, we'll then do that same search for them automatically, pull a project that meets that criteria, and then email it to them once a month. And if they've given multiple donations with different search criteria, we'll include sort of one project recommendation for each. And also, if we know their zip code, which we do for most people, we'll also include a project that's very close to them, that is a high need project. And we've sort of been playing with it, and this is working well. And so, you know, a big area for investment for us is like, my gosh, we finally have something that's working in terms of recommending projects and getting donors to come back. So I think a big area investment for us is just going to be doubling down on that product. And part of that will be sort of very micro tactical fine tuning of language and you know, making sure we're presenting the recommendations as best we can, and then maybe some more macro things like, are there more people we can target? Are we targeting on all the things we can, and so forth? But you know, sometimes the least sexy things, the sexy thing to do is to sort of invent a new product, but actually the disciplined thing to do is to take something that's working and see if you can just double down on it and make it work better. So I think we'll definitely be doing that with these email recommendations.
So the change in October, the big change was increasing the accuracy based on prior search results and focusing the email, or was there like more nuance to it than that?
No, the essence of it was, recommendations based on specifically the projects you donated to in the past,
yeah,
but based on the search that led to them. Because not to get too far into it, but one of the issues we always had is if someone gives to one project, a project may have 30 attributes, and it was hard for us to infer what was the attribute that made you give, and therefore, what do we target on? Was it because it was in New York, or was it because it was music, or was it because you went to that high school, or was it because a friend told you about it, or was it because the age group of the kids? And it could be any of these things, and with only one data point, we're not Amazon with like 100 data points. So with only one project, how do we know which dimension it was that motivated you? So the aha for us was looking at the search you did before you donated, because it's through that search that you express the criteria that was meaningful to you. And then it's that criteria plus a zip code targeted project recommendation.
Oliver, I love all of this. I love the heck out of it. And, you know, I think you're definitely headed, your train's on the right track with doubling down on what's working and doing more of what works, certainly. How do people find you on the interwebs?
DonorsChoose.org is the place to go. And if anybody ever wants to get in touch with me and follow up on any of these things or hear more about how we've done them, I'm Oliver at DonorsChoose.org. I think that's it. I'm also on LinkedIn. I have a Twitter account, but I'm not very active because I'm too busy trying to get these system emails figured out.
Oh, boy. Too busy filling people's inboxes. Well, keep on doing amazing work over there. Thank you so much for your time today, Oliver.
You bet. This was fun. Thanks, George.
Man, I love Donors Choose. I've known Oliver for a while, and I'm a huge fan of their work. I encourage you to go there, donate to a teacher classroom, and just go through the experience of it. It's brilliantly done. Learn from it, take notes, and then apply it to what you could potentially be doing in your own organization. Two big things I want to call out here. First, that moment where he said it's about having the discipline to double down on something that's working but could work a bit better. It takes a bit of courage to do that. Those transactional emails are performing at 10x, as he said, 10x the rate that the marketing emails are at bringing people back to the site to donate again. The second big point here is customization. If you haven't realized by now, the web 2.0, web 3.0 will all be about better and better customization. You're going to be able to tell my heart rate when I'm about to buy something in 10 years, right? So how they're starting to do that with, you know, somewhat limited resources was they found the right attributes. What was the last thing I searched for? Search is oftentimes a fantastic indicator of intention. And then, of course, location, right? Something that they can pull up. And then that triggers an email that can be sent to somebody saying, hey, we found technology projects being put up by teachers in the Brooklyn area. That's something that'll probably get me to donate. We covered a lot of resources today, and they'll all, as always, be available at wholewhale.com/podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
This has been Using the Whole Whale. For more resources on today's show, please visit wholewhale.com/podcast and consider following us on Twitter at wholewhale. And thanks for joining us.
And of course, special thanks to Scrambled Mache for our music today. Coming out of Michigan, the song that we used, the title was Music Teacher.